May God help us. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 for just a few moments. Ephesians chapter 1. I was talking about how we are significant in God's mind, in God's heart. He has something He wants us to do before we leave this world. I just want to look at some verses tonight. I'll not be long, I don't believe so, and just share some wonderful truths from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's stand together, please, and read the first three verses, if we could. I hear a lot about identity crisis. People who don't know who they are. Some people say, I'm trying to find myself. Some folks say, I don't understand myself. I don't know where I fit in the scheme of things. I don't love myself. I have features about me that I don't like. What is the whole purpose for my existence? God has an answer to that, and I'm glad that He does. Paul, the great apostle, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And turn over just a few pages to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Go by Philippians, get to Colossians. I used to call that Galatians years ago. Colossians, the church at Colossae. Verse 27. Everybody there? It's on page 1403 if you're still looking. Apostle Paul, writing now to the church at Colossae, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now say that last phrase with me, beginning with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Someone defined Christianity as Christinuity. Christinuity, He's on the inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Spiritual identification crisis, let's face it tonight, and just see who we are in Christ. Father, thank you for the biblical truth that's before us. Lord, I trust you'll speak to us for just a few moments. Help us to realize coming in the middle of the week, a lot of folks probably wouldn't even dare go to church on Wednesday, much less maybe not even Sunday. But we're glad folks want to go on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go as much as we possibly can. And Lord, we need you. We need you more than we realize. And sometimes we're not careful. We'll get away from you. We need to remember who we are, what our purpose is for this world, and why you left us here. We could have been dead already. It could have been us who died today. But for whatever reason, you've left us here another day. I pray you'll speak to us now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. May be seated. What is the whole purpose for my existence? I'd like to know. I'm 50. How many years? I'm 77. I start to say 55. Start to say 57. Start to sound a lot better. 77 years of age this past few days ago. And I didn't realize a lot of things years ago. And some of the things I'm realizing now, I wish I'd learned a long time ago. I'm not all that I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And by the good grace of God, if I'll take the Bible, I can be better in the long haul of things as you finish your life. Some of us may live a long life. My granddad, on dad's side, it'll be 98, so I hope I got his genes. If not, I'll die when the time comes. And we call it in West Virginia, checking out time. Checking out time is going to come, then checked out. And one of these days, your heart's going to cease to beat, and the blood's going to quit flowing, and you're going to drop a lifeless lump of clay. That's it. And the chin will hit your chest, and you'll breathe your last breath in this world. But as soon as you breathe your last breath in this world, you wake up in the next world. And He gave me my first breath. Surely I can give Him all the breaths I can until the day I die. And when my last breath is given to Him, then He takes me to a glorified world that I'll breathe celestial air. No pollution in heaven, nothing to mess up the atmosphere. It'll be completely perfect throughout eternity. And I'm not sure how we will function altogether lung-wise, but we'll breathe celestial air completely pure. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new. Old things have passed away, and all things have become. Now let's get it again. If any man, or you and any man or woman, whichever the case may be, remember, woe man, there are two that become, and woman was made out of man. She was a spare rib, is all she was, but God used her mightily to help in the creation and in the reproduction of the world's population. So we're in Christ. But I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man, I'm an any man. If I'm a believer in Christ, if I'm in Christ, how to get in Christ? If I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. That means I'm not the same as I used to be. It means I'm different now. It's different now. Now, you say, preacher, my life's no different than it was before I got saved. Then something's missing. It's got to be different. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So if I'm an old creature, an old Adam nature, and got saved, now I have a new nature. That nature is the godly nature, the saved nature, the spiritual nature that dwells in our body. Then we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And you discover in the book of Ephesians the in crowd. Sometimes people come through life, they want to be in the in crowd. I want to be somebody. I want somebody to recognize me. I want somebody to know me. I want to be productive. How many of you, I think somebody used the illustration, it might have been Homer or Brandon, somebody teaching the other day in Sunday school. I heard it somewhere since yesterday. How many of you ever played baseball, pickup games on a field, just an old field, played baseball, and they chose teams? And say, Tommy and I were choosing teams, and Tommy's going to choose one, I choose one, Tommy chooses one, I choose one, and we start choosing. Now, Tommy, you tell me, based on just human nature, which one are you going to choose first?
The best.
The best, okay. And so you get to choose best. You choose. Go ahead and choose somebody.
Well, let's see.
Okay, I choose John. All right, I got John. All right, John, you're on my team. Right.
I guess I'll take Fred.
Oh, my goodness. You got Fred. All right. Dennis, you're on our team, okay. All right, choose somebody else.
Well, I'll take Roy.
Roy. Way to go, Roy. Pray for Roy. Roy got laid off his job today, I think, and so pray for him to get back real soon. All right. Now, we can keep on choosing. Then after a while, we utilized all the guys. And you ever been one of those that was the last guy chosen? You're standing there meek and humble. You're waiting for somebody to call your name. And you're probably just as good as they are, you think, and maybe a little better. At least you like to show them how good you are. But I've been to a lot of those ball games when some of those guys didn't get picked, and I probably was one of them myself. They go through the whole list of guys there, and you're not really in the in crowd. You're just leftovers. But we've got to use everybody, and we don't want to make you go home feeling bad because it hurts your self-image. You go home and say, nobody wants me, nobody loves me. I think I just eat worms or something. I don't have nobody wants me. Well, there's people who go through life. They've not been chosen. They're not in the in crowd. Whatever the in crowd is to some people, and a lot of folks will bend over backwards, do a lot of things just to be in the in crowd. We had a guy in college who wanted to be in the in crowd. I mean by that, and the guys who played ball or so forth, he wanted to be on the ball team so bad, he'd almost bribe you to come and play. He'd almost drive you crazy talking about playing sports. I wasn't very good. I'm glad to be able to play ball, but he was worse than I was. And yet he wanted to play so bad, and finally got in the game and was playing basketball one night, and he blew it. I mean, he blew it bad. And you know what he did? He blamed somebody else. It was their fault. One thing about growing up in the Lord and spiritually, when you blow it, you blow it. And the sooner you confess it to God and confess it to other people, the better off you'll be. Too many folks got a subject called pride that eats away at us all the time. And don't think you don't have it. It's one of those kind of things you've got to pray for God to humble you down and then humble yourself down. And he knows who to raise up and when to raise you up. But sometimes we get so full of ourselves, we think we are somebody. And you want to know something? I am somebody. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a king's son. We see little pamphlets around king's daughter coming up the retreat just in a few months. The king's daughters are the ladies, but the king's men, we're princes for the glory of God. We are somebody. Somebody said we are VIPs, very important people. Jesus died for us even though we were worthless. To him we were precious enough that all of hell could have been, all of heaven could have been depopulated. He could have called the angels, took all the things they made, all the beauties of heaven, and thrown them down into hell, and that wouldn't suffice to pay the sin debt. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. That was God's plan from the foundation of the world. So you discover when you read the book of Ephesians and Colossians, little word in, and I looked it up today. I think I jotted it down. I may have not. In Ephesians alone, the word in, it's a little prepositional phrase, word in, I-N, is found 80 times in the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters. I mean, just those short 6 chapters, it's 80 times it's found. And when you start reading through these little words and see how many times they are, and some of the bigger words, how many times they're repeated, the Lord doesn't repeat things just to be repeating them. He repeats them because that is a good way to learn, and it's a good way to stop and be appreciative for what you do have. There was an old woman one time. She was referred to as America's greatest miser. She was a wealthy woman. They said at that time she was worth $100 million. But she was very tight. She wouldn't spend any money. And according to the story, she ate cold oatmeal so she could save cost on heat. She didn't want to heat it up because it may cost a little bit to heat up the oatmeal. She had a son who had his leg amputated while she was waiting to find free clinics. It brought on her own death when she started drinking skim milk, and she argued about the value of it. She drank skim milk until she died. Now, in my notes, it's got she either was eccentric or she was certainly crazy. And I sort of look on the right-hand side there. She was certainly crazy or perhaps had limitless wealth, but she lived like a pauper. She could live like a prince. That doesn't mean you have everything you want spiritually. That's not what I'm talking about, because we have riches that money can't buy. But she died a pauper. How sad. But she had everything at her disposal that could help her to live a good life. And we have everything that we need to live the right kind of life and live a good life. You say, preacher, all the aches and pains we go through and all the trials and troubles, God's got another chapter in her life. We go through those seasons. He ain't finished with us yet. He's working on us. We like them children's song, "He's Still Working on Me." We like that one, don't we? Amen. Boy, my kids, there's hope. He's still working on our kids. Let's move it up a notch. He's still working on me. And when I die, when you die, he will not be completed until we're glorified in the presence of the Lord, have a perfect body, but until then. And he'll do away with all the infirmities and all the inconsistencies and all the things that are not good and not well in our life. Spiritual side has many of us, we live on the pauper side of life. We have riches that money cannot buy, and you find them in the book of Ephesians repeated several times. There was a man who took a cruise, and just listening to the news about the couple just got married, coming back from Bahamas or somewhere on a cruise, I forget where it was at, and they hit a terrible storm last night, and they interviewed them after they got off, and they thought they were going to die. They thought it was a most terrible thing they've ever heard in their life was that raging storm that ship was in and the cruise, but they was able to make dock and able to be survived. But they could have died, and a lot of folks have died in cruises and plane crashes and train crashes and Amtrak crashes and so forth. No, there's all time. I'm surprised those ladies got to brought him back all by themselves. And was there a man on there at all? Nancy, was there a man on there? How many men were on the bus? You didn't even look at them.
We were in the car of our own.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I had something I wanted to say there, but I'm going to bypass it right now. But anyhow, this guy was going on a cruise, and he got hungry, so he's eating cheese and crackers. And he finally got to the place, he was just almost starved to death. He finally went up to one of the employees and said, "You got any food I could maybe eat?" He said, "Are you a passenger?" "Yes, I am." "Well, your ticket includes all the food you want to eat." He was starving himself, and he already paid the ticket. And either he was, like this lady, eccentric or certainly crazy. I mean, to go on a ship and think you got no food, you got to pack your bag of lunch or something. If you can afford a cruise, you can afford to eat somewhere sometime. But anyhow, he just figured he, you know, couldn't eat. But it come with the ticket. I got my ticket purchased for heaven several years ago by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And it takes the blood-stamped approval of Jesus Christ for me to get to heaven. Nobody enters there apart from the blood. But Jesus paid it all. A-double-L. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, yet he washed it white as snow. God gave us salvation, been born again, and every spiritual blessing that pursues out of that, because he lives on the inside. Is God perfect? And the answer is, then our desire should be to be perfect. God's never sinned. The desire for us is that we quit sinning. I realize we don't reach it in this life, but are we better today spiritually than we were 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Do you sin less today than you used to, or do you sin more? Do you know Christians can go to heaven second class? I mean, with that, they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, but they live like they can't live the right kind of life. They sort of give in to their lifestyle and just sort of float through life when the Lord wants us to have victorious life, does he not? I come to give life and to give life abundantly, John 10:10. He talks about faith is the victory that overcometh the world, even by our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Chapter 8, one of the mountain peaks of the Bible, and especially the book of Romans, been read by many folks over and over again. I've gone to it probably every day of my life, and I say that not braggadociously. I've been to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, every day of my life for the last 30 years. It comes to my mind as soon as I get up in the morning, and usually before I go to bed at night, Romans 8:28. Don't always practice what it says. Sometimes my faith is weak. But I've quoted it many, many times, and it's a wonderful verse of Scripture. But let's look at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Question mark. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with also freely give us what? All things that I need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. How important that is. So number one tonight, the saints who received the blessing. Who was it received the blessing? Who are we? We'll go back to Ephesians and listen to who we are. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints. To the saints. Well, the saints who received the blessing, who are they? Well, 9 times in the book of Ephesians, the word saints is used. Let's look at it. Ready? You are somebody. You are a saint. You and I are saints of God. Somebody said you're either a saint or you ain't. Either a saint or you ain't. And you don't have to wait till you die to become a saint. He's writing to the saints, and he says, which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It sort of goes hand in hand. Some folks have positionally sainthood, but they don't do it practically. And they don't do it in their life. They don't live saintly, I guess is a better way to put it. Verse 1, verse 15. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the what? There it is again. So what in the world is a saint? Let's go to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So let's enlighten our eyes a little bit more. Let's follow the sequence of what Paul's trying to say. That ye may know, K-N-O-W, what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There it is again. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the what? Saints. Of the household of God. Well, chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me who am who am unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Is this, Paul said, I'm the least of all that we're talking about. He said he was the chief of sinners. If God take care of the chief, he's bound to take care of all the Indians, reckon? The grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You go through the book of Ephesians, find that phrase about riches over and over again also. Well, let's go to chapter 3, verse 8. Let's go to verse 18, chapter 3. May be able to comprehend, there's that knowledge that we get enlightened with all saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He says you ought to know more and more as you live the Christian life. We ought to learn, and the knowledge we have ought to be rooted and grounded in truth, and the truth will make you free. And in chapter 4 and verse 12, if I've got it wrote down right, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now we're getting to the spiritual identity of a Christian. He introduced us to who we are. Then he tells us again and again the word saint and how we should be. He talks about what we have in Jesus Christ and the power that he has. And he said, I want your eyes to be enlightened so you understand this. I want you to get a hold of it. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous truths out of the Word of God. Help me see this. And then he says, I want you to work in the ministry. Well, who am I? I got a spiritual crisis. Are you working in the ministry? Somebody asked me the other day what their gift was, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they are. We'll talk about it later. How can you know what your gift is? Some may not be able to identify it readily. Some may identify it readily. I'll say this in passing. Every Christian has at least one gift. At least one. And they're given to us in the Word of God in three different places, listed in different categories. And some may say there's only 9, some say there's 19, some say there's 27. But how many gifts there are, that God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. But there are several gifts that are mentioned in the Word of God. And some were abused in the early days of the church, especially the church at Corinth. You can have a gift and not be spiritual. You can be talented and not be spiritual. You can be able to do a lot of things and not be spiritual. But a gift comes from God. And God gives the power and the unction to fulfill that gift that is given you. I told somebody in the conversation, I'm not sure what altogether your gifts are. I think I could identify some of them, maybe one or two things that I see. But one of the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit is a little tiny word, H-E-L-P-S. What's that spell? Helps. I saw it in one of our men just the other day. He was parked in the canopy. It was raining real bad. He came, he's getting ready to leave. He said, Preacher, I'll move my car over there. Give me your keys and I'll bring your car around. And I didn't ask him to do that. I didn't do it. I said, no, I'm all right. I got an umbrella somewhere. I lose a lot of umbrellas. But here, there's no problem for him. And I've heard it several times. And you may do it to other people, and I'm sure you do. But I thought, you know, he's got a gift of helps. He may not know he's got a gift of helps, but he's got a gift of helps. I mean, you can have 10 people and maybe only one would volunteer. Now, they may, if you suggest it, would you go get my car? Nancy won't do it. Will you go get it for me? You know, somebody got to get the car. But I was telling Fred or somebody today, as you get older, if you're not careful, people make you feel old. You know what I mean? They help you downstairs. Be careful. You're walking along. Be careful. There's a on visitation last night. Brother Tyre said, if you back off, you're going to fall in the yard. Here I'm talking on the front porch, and he said, don't back up. Well, if I'd have backed up 2 steps, I'd have been bleeding on my back. And so he's watching out for the old man. I had McCain and all that kind of stuff. And I guess sometimes you get treated like an old man because you act like an old man, I reckon. But I don't want to be hypocritical. I'm concluding to the factor that I'm not the young man I used to be. I'm just telling you, I know that. But God still wants to use me, still wants to use you. And some of the greatest Christians I've met have been people on their deathbed. they show the greatness of God. They show the power of God, and sometimes even display a gift of spirituality. You ever seen somebody that could go into a situation talking about gifts of the Spirit? Somebody dies. We're talking about Montreal dying here and his family, and they may be in all room, one room or at the funeral home somewhere. Some people come in and say the very word that needs to be said. Some of us go in sort of, you know, God bless you, sure praying for you. But we get a loss of words to say. You see, somebody's got the gift of the Holy Spirit as it works in compassion and love and reaching out to help others. Sometimes they know exactly what to say. And I walk away and say, boy, I wish I'd have said that. You know, but being there means a lot. But some folks just know how to word it. Now, I'm not saying you go home and brag, look at me, I can word it. But you just let God use you, and you may be able to meet a lot of people's needs because you're somebody. And God wants to use everybody. It's not the people always up on the front who's the most spiritual. We want to be, but everybody ought to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. So the confirmation he gives nine times of who we are in the book of Ephesians, and I read through those, and there's a few others I didn't read, but all of them confirmed the fact that we are saints in Christ. He's perfectly saintly. Nothing evil about him. He saved us and gave us himself, who's perfect, to help us to become perfect. And he helps us through journeys of life. I'm a lot better today than I was years ago in the journey. And yet I find myself with so much room still lacking of growing. The fact is, if you're born again, child of God, you're in that number. You were picked. You were selected. You've been accepted in the Beloved. And he looks at somebody and says, boy, I don't want them. God looks at him and says, I'll take him. He'll take the very worst sinner in the world and change him. And when you read biographies or you read autobiographies or you listen to testimonies of people, where they were at until God met them and God took care of their life and saved them, and they became new creatures in Christ Jesus. What happened? Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You get around some people who are doing something for God. If you knew their past, you said, I couldn't never believe that. I couldn't believe that. You know, sometimes we get off on smoking and drinking and chewing, dipping snuff and all kind of stuff. And all habits are bad. Some are just nastier than others. Somebody said you may be able to go to heaven and dip snuff, but you have to go to hell to spit. Well, maybe some truth to that. I don't know. But some habits folks want to get rid of, and they do them. And sometimes they feel so inadequate in themselves. But I've seen folks who have grown in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You overcome anything by truth. And the truth will make you free. And will I not give you all things freely? Romans 8:32. Because if I was willing, God says, to give my son and spare not my son, but let him die on an old rugged cross, don't you think I'll give you what you need? The problem is not with God, it's with us. It all comes back down to yielding to the Holy Spirit of letting God have right away in our life. I need that. And I can't live off of past blessings. Nothing in the Bible talks about what it used to be. It talks about who I am and what I'm going to be. So all my past is the past. I can't change the past. I got the present. And I love that word, and I use it quite often in my own heart about daily. Give me this day my daily bread. Take up your cross daily. He doesn't talk about hourly or monthly or yearly. He talks about doing every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I rejoice and be glad in it. Boy, I need to be reminded of that truth. So here's the fact, and I'll be through. The confirmation nine times in the book of Ephesians, the word saints is used. Of course, it's found in other books of the Bible also. The fact is, if you're born again, are you born again? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you in the number?
Amen.
And when the saints go marching in,
amen,
who are you going to be? Well, praise hallelujah. So the faithful are in Christ Jesus. He says, Ephesians 1, to the saints in Christ and those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, the future when the saints go marching in. Remember that song? It used to be a Christian song they sung in church. I remember as a kid, they used to sing a lot. And sometimes they get to marching around. Oh, when the saints go marching in. And they sort of march around and sing that song. Then they got jazzing it up so much, the New Orleans folks did. And they jazzed it up so much, almost made it unbearable. But the fact is, the saints are going to go marching in. They're going to come from every country of the world. They're going to come from every city of the world. They're going to come from probably every village of the world, every hamlet of the world. every alley of the world, there's going to be folks going to come who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are saints in Christ, and they're going to march into heaven to receive what God has for them over there, in addition to what He's given to them over here on this side. I have a lot tonight, spiritually, that I did not have until I got saved. But now I have the riches of Christ. So the confirmation, I close with the confusion that we face when we talk about saints. It's a doctrine that has been confused about how you can be a saint and who's saint, who qualifies to be a saint. Because we got this image of a saint is somebody that's pretty near perfect, and rightly so. And yet we know we're not there yet. So the Roman Catholics have confused the doctrine. To be a saint in the Catholic Church, you must be dead 100 years. Now, they make exceptions to that, and I'll give them to you in just a minute. But the authentic qualification, you have to be dead at least 100 years, and you're supposed to have a test of having performed two miracles. Or if you were martyred for the cause of Christ, then you would qualify for sainthood. And folks are not saints until the Roman Catholic decrees and confers upon them that they are. And they sometimes find various ways to get that truth out, and they'll claim a miracle or claim something happened. And I'm not here to debate the issue altogether, but they will transfer, officially bestow sainthood upon those that are qualified. I love this. It would make me shout if I didn't have it. I could just shout if I get ready. He transfers and confers with me sainthood when I got saved.
That's right.
I am a saint of God. Oh, that makes me proud. No, that makes me humble. But it makes me realize that I'm somebody to God, and everybody's somebody, and God loves everybody, and God loves you, and God loves me, and He loves you just as much as He loves me, and He loves me just as much as He loves you. And we need to receive that love because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and let our lives count for the cause and the glory of God. Let's stand together, please. Let's pray together. Our heads are about, our eyes are closed. Maybe somebody here, you maybe question who you are. Maybe get discouraged, say, what's the purpose of my life? I just flipped over a few moments before church and I saw the sermon in my outline notebook. How long, oh Lord, how long will it be? Psalm 13. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. When you're going through the trial of your life, sometimes you say, Lord, remember my name. And He says, your name has been written on my palms and my hands. I can never forget you. You see, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You may think your life is in disarray, but I've got news for you. You're on the way to a glorified body and a perfect city. You be faithful unto death. Stay with me, the Lord's saying. Now, He's going to take us because we're saved. We can't work our way to heaven. But all of us start to desire to please Him more and more and better. And maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. Or maybe you're seeking to know your purpose for your existence. Once you find the purpose for your life, it helps a lot in guiding through this uneven journey that you have a purpose. And many, many folks say, I have no purpose. But that defies what Scripture says. For all of us are saints with a purpose. And that purpose has been given to us in the Word of God. Bless the invitation, I pray.